And welcome to Residual Hauntings Revived, and I'm like way loud, so I'm going to turn my mic down just a hair because I always seem to carry my voice a little too much. And yes, we are back. The dungeon is locked up. The troll went crazy. Jess forgot to feed him for like a month, and he just started eating wood and whatever he can get his hands on.
I couldn't find any dwarves.
A pretty sight.
It's pretty ugly. There is troll feces everywhere, so there's pebbles everywhere. Troll feces, pebbles, anyway.
Gravel.
Thanks for that.
Gravel.
Gravel. Gravel, gravel, gravel.
Well, you know, they sell pea gravel nowadays.
That would suck as a troll, having to pee gravel.
It's like passing kidney stones all the time.
That is a poor image I didn't need. That was way loud, Russ. So I took some advice from our good friend Howard Taylor, and I have zeroed out the board after every show, and now it's all jacked up. So
so thank you, Howard.
Yes, I appreciate you, Howard, very much, you bastard. Still love you, but you bastard. Anyway, so welcome back to Residual Hauntings. We are back.
Who did you just unplug?
I just unplugged something that wasn't plugged in.
Okay. No.
We're okay. I would mute you before. I'd turn you into a robot before I unplugged you.
You unplugged something that wasn't plugged in.
I'm really with it tonight. I don't know what it was, but I woke up this morning and I kid you not, I just felt like I was asleep the entire day. All day today at work, I want to just take a nap.
I think that was just something that was in the climate of Utah today.
Yeah.
I sat at my computer today, and I was just like, yeah, I just want to go to sleep now. I fell asleep during my lunch for like 20 minutes, started to snore, and one of the guys in the cubicle next to me threw something at me and woke me up.
There you go.
Yeah. So I feel a little better.
You got a cat nap, huh?
Yeah, I got a little chai tea, so
I'm
doing a little better there. So, yes, so we've got a lot of stuff coming up. I just realized that we have some sort of convention for the next every month for the next 3 months. That's true. I'm off to WonderCon the end of this month.
Right.
Then we have SLC Nerd April 20th.
Yay. Correct.
With Wasasquatch.
Yes.
Yay.
I am so excited for that.
Yes.
And then Conduit.
Conduit.
Yay.
Which I look forward to every single year. And this... they will not have a conduit 2014. No conduit 2014. Next year there will be no conduit.
Oh, so that means you got to get out this year.
Yes, you must get to conduit this year. They will be back 2015, but they are combining with Western Con, which is
going to be
4th of July weekend. And yeah, if I tried to do a sci-fi convention on the 4th of July weekend, I think I would be a dead man. It's bad enough I do it on my anniversary weekend. 4th of July weekend.
Well, that's because she goes for it.
Yeah, she does. So, yeah. So, April 20th is SLC Nerd. Now, if you're in the Salt Lake City area and you are a geek like us, you're going to definitely want to check this one out. Our good friends over at Media Rift is pretty much the ones who are doing this one. This is their second year. They've got some bigger plans. And I have been let in on some inside stuff that I can't say yet because it hasn't been completely confirmed.
But
it's going to be amazing. Now, we do know that Frank Bedore is going to be there. Frank Bedore is the
creator. SLC Nerd?
Yes, he is the creator of the Looking Glass Wars. And I get to hang with him at WonderCon. So he will be there, but there is possibly another guest that they haven't gotten confirmed yet that may be there as well. And if he shows up, yeah.
I heard a rumor about 6 months ago that if it's who I'm thinking it is.
No, it's not Weird Al.
Oh, okay.
No, this is somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I'll tell you off air.
That's fine.
But... yeah, this would be awesome.
Were you not sitting there?
When Greg was talking to us? Or was it Greg? Yeah, it was Greg that told us, right? Or was it Ben? No, it was Ben that told us.
It was Ben.
Yeah, I didn't even. I wasn't around when Ben was talking.
I don't know what's going on with my audacity, but it's freaking out.
No.
It's like pausing. I don't know what the hell.
Let it pause.
Don't do that. You.
We're just trying to keep up with the pauses.
Anyway, so yeah, that's April 20th.
It's like a verbal strobe light.
We're also doing a tea party with Margaret. Mimi just told me today, too. We're doing a tea party on the 19th, which is connected to SLC Nerd.
Okay.
So we'll have more information for that. I'll put it on the Facebook page. And then we are also doing...
Is it somebody local?
No, no. This is a big person. I just can't remember who... Not like big as in like Buddha big, but, you know, like a well-known...
Buddha's getting smaller.
He is. He's down like 80 pounds or something like that. I'm impressed.
I haven't seen how much he's lost, so...
No. Don't chew on those, Casper. Casper the Friendly Ghost has been coming my friendly buddy tonight. We have a little... There's a,
crawling right up your leg.
He better not crawl up my leg.
That would be hilarious.
No, it would not be. So, and then we're going to do a vampire tea party at Conduit. This is something that's in the works right now with Heather Joseph Whittem. It's from 11 to midnight. We're going to serve some tea and some red velvet cake. And she's going to talk vampires in New Orleans. So I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm just excited that Heather's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I get to hang out with her next month. We're going to dinner, and she's going to come down to WonderCon for one day and hang out with me. So, she's become such a good friend. And sorry, that was my stomach. I hope that didn't pick up on the microphone, but it just went. So, yeah, she's going to be here for Conduit. Get your tickets now. You can save money. You can get group discounts. They are also looking for volunteers. Volunteer rate, you basically need to work 20 hours for the weekend. So it works out to be about 6 hours a day or something like that. And you get in for like $15.
Right.
And you don't have to do the full 6 hours each
day. And it's not like heavy lifting. It's like filling water glasses. And
it's
sitting
walking in the back and holding up the 5 minutes left sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Or working at registration and signing people up. It's really easy. Go to conduitslc.net, I think it is. Or just Google Salt or Conduit of Salt Lake City, and you'll get the right website. They're on Facebook, too. It's a great little sci-fi con. I love it every year. This year is going to be great. Some good guests. Larry Correa is the writing guest of honor.
Awesome.
Sweet.
And Heather Joseph Whittem. And then they're
He basically got his start out of a Conduit, didn't he?
You know, he did get... Conduit was pretty much his first big con. It's grassroots for him. So if you don't know who Larry Correa is, wake up. Larry Correa is the creator of Monster Hunters International, which is just... fantastic series, and I'm feeling really
guilty.
And
the Grimoire Chronicles.
The Grimoire Chronicles and Dead Six.
Dead Six.
I'm feeling a little guilty because I'm way behind on my Monster Hunters International. I think there's 3 books out that I haven't read yet. I've got one of them sitting at home. I just haven't a chance. But I picked up this this new author. We met her last week at LTUE.
Right.
Sherry Adler, I think it's.
Alsop.
Alsop, thank you. Yeah. And I read Stolen. Took me 3 days to read this book. I just breezed through it. Loved it. Fantastic. Well written. And this is what I'm going to... This is my description. It's Peter Pan. Love story. You know, the Wendy and the Peter Pan kind of thing. But Peter's a changeling. And Wendy's a really, really smart... Well, Wendy's Wendy. So...
Okay.
I mean, it's a really good series. A really good love story. She got me drawn in really early into the book, which is a good thing for the book.
Right.
The only thing that I wish she would have done, I felt that the ending was over too quickly. I think there could have been a little bit more to the end of the story, but all in all, it was still a great book.
Awesome.
I started the werewolf ones too, Silver.
Yeah? What awesome. Are you thinking? You liking them?
I'm loving her writing style.
I am too, so... Awesome books. You can check them out on Amazon. She's got them on Amazon. She's got ebooks and the hard copies. So the police are coming, Russ. Run, run, run.
They'll never find me here.
So I want to do something.
Whatever,
we're probably
be here for Kevin.
Yeah.
They'll just pick you up as a side. Like, oh, hey.
Bonus.
Hopefully we don't get a knock on the door during the middle of the show. He needs to go run out for 2 miles.
Yeah. I don't know where it is.
So I'm going to switch up. I want to talk a little bit about something first, and then we'll go into movie review and Ninja News. But we had an interesting experience this weekend.
Panda News.
Did I say Ninja News?
Yeah.
See, it's been a while since we've done this. So, So we did an investigation this weekend at the old gym buildings, and I'm kind of sad that it's probably going to be the last one. Pebbles and Twigs is going to be moving, and they're going to be doing a lot of reconstruction on the building. The people that may be buying it, I'll see what happens when the new owners come in and see if I can get contact in there, but it's probably going to be a while. But many of you that listen to the show know of my little ghost, Matt, who kind of hangs around with
little
me.
My ghost. Little ghost.
He's got a foot on you, dude.
That yeah, he's going like... Anyway, what?
I don't even know. Just continue.
Anyway, so Matt is kind of like this protective spirit of mine. He keeps ghosts away from me. And I came in contact with what I believe was an 18, 19-year-old boy who, for one reason or other, was homeless or a runaway of some sort who froze to death outside of the building. That was the image I was getting. And a confirmation through some of the equipment we had.
Right. And I almost got the feeling, you know, I didn't feel homeless. I didn't get homeless from him. But I did get froze to death. But, I mean, it literally could have been somebody who froze to death before Salt Lake was even settled.
This is true.
It could have just been...
I just didn't... Or it I didn't may feel have like just he was
been,
that old.
It may have been something more recent that he froze to death, but it really didn't have anything
well,
to do with the building.
We did ask if it was before 2005, and he said no.
Okay, that is true. But he also said... he didn't freeze inside the building.
No, I felt as if he was trying to get into the building for shelter when it was abandoned.
Okay.
And for one reason or other, he couldn't get in, or he froze to death for one reason or other.
But I didn't get that he was homeless. I just that he froze to death.
See, and I could be wrong, but I did kind of get this feeling like for one reason or other, he was trying to get into the building and he froze to death.
Right.
But anyway, it was an interesting experience for me because Matt, this what was it? It was Michael. Wasn't his name Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael. This Michael guy wouldn't leave me alone. And all I felt as if Matt was trying to protect me like he normally does. And I honestly felt like this Michael kid grabbed the hold of Matt by the chest hairs and said, "Get out of my way. I'm going to talk to this guy. Leave now." And Matt was gone. I have never
pushed him back or whatever,
got out of the way and got in there. And it was so funny because I've never, ever seen Matt be intimidated by anything before. So here's my question. How often do you think spirits intimidate each other? Do you think it's a common thing? Because we kind of have some experiences at the mill where there are some spirits that intimidate
yes,
other spirits.
I think it's probably more common than you think. If they, through their focus, are aware of each other.
And that's another good point.
The residence that me and Jess went and did, there was an alpha spirit that intimidated the other three spirits that were there.
Chime in anytime you like, Jess.
I'm here. It's true.
So, I mean, could it be common? I mean...
I think Merkur's another prime example. I think you have... the mayor or the one spirit that basically feels like he's in charge and he kind of controls the other spirits. So if you get up there and you start talking with the other spirits and he shows up, you tend to get less activity with the other spirits after he shows up and makes himself known.
No. Well,
and I think it's probably just going to happen as much as it would happen with any living people. Some people just draw more attention to themselves and push others kind of back type of thing and intimidate that way. So... I don't know. I think it's just going to happen just as much because you're going to have the same personality. If you've got that really strong personality that you intimidate others, you're still going to be that way if you run into spirits on the other side too.
Do you think that they can befriend each other even if they're from different time periods?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I feel the same way. I think they can have kind of a bond. But I also feel, too, that when they have that bond, it makes the haunting or the activity a little bit more stronger. They're working off of each other's energies, and they're learning from each other.
Right.
And I hate to go back to the whole ghost situation, the whole movie Ghost again, but the one
Well, they got certain things right.
They did.
I mean,
I think they did. And I think that showing Patrick Swayze how to move things, I think spirits do that. They kind of become this... big brother, big sister kind of spirit and say, you know, I understand what you're going through here. Let me help you. But then again, I wonder if there are those intimidated ones, those ones that are intimidating that don't want to help and they have all these other spirits.
The bullies, the...
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, what were you experiencing at Zim's?
You know, it was, there was one spirit that was there, ironically named Tom. He did not like the group.
And we heard audibly Tom. I heard my name, or a name Tom, audibly spoken. At first I thought it was me, but apparently there
was no, that was there. That was this spirit's name. He really seemed to like Fred. And whenever Fred was away from the group, this spirit would communicate with him through the devices. As soon as the group would come around, he would back off. Now, I went up. I know that there were times that I left the group. We were waiting for other people to show up. And I kind of felt that way, that when you got away from the group, I could feel those energies. I could feel the pressure changes. I could feel those cold spots that we started to pick up later on in the night while we were up there. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was drawn to that one room. I think I was actually led
to the safe. Which is funny, because the first time we went there, I never really noticed the safe. I don't know if there was something in blocking it. Maybe there was a piece of furniture.
I think the door was just closed.
But I didn't even notice. I would have noticed something like that, because I walked right into the building. It was the first thing I spotted Saturday night, was that safe. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And I kind of was drawn to it too, but I got busy with other people, because I walked into the building and boom, it was like this giant light beam. Or lighthouse, and a
beacon.
Beacon, thank you.
There you go.
This giant beacon that just said, "Hey, look at me." But I got busy talking to the manager and to the two employees, and I didn't get a chance to go back there. So maybe it was okay. Well, if he's gonna ignore me, I'm gonna find somebody else that will not.
And I did go up. I was fairly open as I was wandering around on the main floor while everybody was in the basement. And there were a lot of things. I was catching, for lack of a better term, I was catching apparitions moving around on that floor, but it was mostly in reflections, or I'd catch them around the corner. There were some things that were hanging that I noticed started to wave. I was looking for vents. I was looking for that type of thing. So I was kind of open and I verbally said out loud, okay, hey, if you want to communicate with us, here I am. Let me know that you're here. And then that was when I was basically led down to where I saw the safe, went into the room.
And now this was the interesting thing, and maybe somebody who listens to the show knows more about safes than we do, but it had two floors. I have never seen a safe with two floors.
Right.
There was literally a basement inside the safe that was completely cemented.
Well, okay, you had the safe, which was completely concrete. Floor, ceiling, walls, but there was a flight of stairs that went down through the concrete into another room that was completely concrete. But when you go into the basement, it actually had rock on the outside of the concrete.
So the not only was it concreted inside the safe, but it had another
layer of rock
on the outside of that concrete
in the basement, right?
And it was really bizarre, because I had never really ever seen a safe with a basement, because it basically had a basement.
And you wondered if at some point the stairs were hidden.
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling that maybe there was something. Excuse me. Sorry. Like there was something covering the hole that could be slid or moved easily,
right,
to hide the basement. But what would they need that for? I mean, it was a wagon business. And then it was basically became Zim's itself, which was office supplies and educational supplies. So, and that was obviously, that safe was built into that wall. It wasn't.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't a newer thing. That safe was pretty old.
Oh yeah. I think it was there. I basically think it was there from
I want to say late 1800s.
The building, when they built the building, because the concrete was actually wrapped around.
That's true.
There were extra steel girders in the ceiling and the floor, so the concrete was actually wrapped around it.
The safe was built as part of the building.
Yeah, I believe so.
It was really bizarre. I mean, I didn't really get a feeling inside there. It was just, I didn't feel any energy or anything inside the safe itself.
I haven't had a chance to go listen to the audio. I mean, I went in there two or three times that night, so.
And I'm planning on listening to my audio tomorrow and see if I picked up anything. But, I mean, we had some good stuff there. It was a good experience, a good night.
That was interesting. Anyway, another interesting encounter that we had was I was away from the group, off in the shadows, which I tend to do from time to time, and I caught from the second set of stairs in the shadow, because we had opened the door and come down, a shadow of, like, animals, small. And I didn't say anything, and it was not 15 seconds later, you said something about a dog, and
I could smell wet dog.
And
two other people got
right,
the same scent.
Then there was a strong smell of wet dog. Now, the manager did say her dog was there in the building that day. But it was just the fact that it came up abruptly like that.
Yeah,
everybody smelled it.
She's got a little dog, though. This was one of those big, heavy, musky dog smells. Right. And there is a difference between a small dog musty smell
there
and a big
is.
Dog
yeah.
musty smell. And it hit me hard.
But
I mean, it was like all of a sudden,
I just thought
whoosh.
It was funny that I saw the shadow seconds before you made a comment, and then the entire group could smell the wet dog. And that was the other thing, is I didn't smell the wet dog until the same time that everybody else did, and I had to have been 75 feet away from you.
Yeah, maybe 50. Probably
50 feet away from you.
See, now, and I do believe spirits like to use smells to trigger memories for us, because scent is one of the strongest memory triggers we have.
Right.
I remember, and we've all experienced when we've smelt something that brings back something from our childhood or a memory we had. And a lot of people will tell you that scent is the strongest memory trigger. So I think spirits like to use it. But it was really bizarre that you saw the shadow and then just a few seconds later, which I think is a good way of confirming what you saw and what we saw as well.
Right.
This strong scent that we got. And it wasn't just me. It was two of the employees who are not ghost hunters. The first time they've ever done this, smelt it. And then one of the other ladies that was there smelt it.
Right.
So, anyway, interesting night.
It had some interesting encounters. I wouldn't say anything was over the top.
No, it wasn't super.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe it was. And
we just haven't got to the audio yet.
We haven't gotten to the audio yet. I really wish we could have set some cameras up in there. I'd really like to set up some IR cameras in that building and just see what we get for a few hours. But, again,
We did see a few shadows.
Did someone see an apparition? I can't remember if anybody saw an apparition.
Like I said, I saw some up on the main floor.
And I didn't see
which was the most well lit floor on the building.
Shadow. I did see what looked like a dark shadow on that one by that one pillar. Right as we were closing up for the night, right as we were finishing up for the night, when we started getting some really kind of strange kind of sounds, we got some knocking.
Right.
I asked for some knocking. We did get some responses with that, which was cool. We got the SOS going with the flashlight and with both ghost meters, which was awesome. So Jess is going to go check on Casper.
What are they doing?
Who knows? Anyway, it was all in all a good night.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
And now that Jess has stepped away,
having an issue with the connection. It keeps. There's nobody in the room, but it just keeps disconnecting.
I'm not sure why. Jess just walked away, so we were going to do the movie review, but she's taking care of her animals now. So I want to talk about our sponsors. We've got two great sponsors. First, of course, Carter Reed, the Zombie Nation. Now, the Zombie Nation is online. It is a three-day-a-week comic strip, which is basically following the life of some zombies. It's a perverse zombie love story. Carter's a good friend of ours.
Perverse is a good adjective.
Perverse?
Is a good adjective.
Yes. Uh-oh. What happened?
He was climbing the garbage.
Oh, he's climbing the garbage. Casper. It's probably my fault. I probably left the bathroom door open, and I apologize. So anyway, check out thezombienation.com. You're going to want to put in the in there, or you're going to get some crazy band. But thezombienation.com. He does new comics Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Occasionally, he'll just do a zombie picture. Somebody that he's zombied. This week, he actually zombied the governor from The Walking Dead, which was pretty cool.
Cool.
The eye patch.
Yeah, I think I missed that one.
I think it was today's.
Oh, was it? Yeah, I haven't been on today.
So he is also on Pinterest. And if you're a Cthulhu fan, he has got the Cthulhu fish tags. He's got tons of stuff up on his website. I adore his zombie family logos, which I have on my car. And I'm saying again for some reason. I gotta mentally remember not to do that. I'm trying to stop myself from saying because I say way too much. And then, of course, Nightfly Comics. Nightfly Comics is a great comic shop. Highly recommend you guys go checking it out. If you're in the Salt Lake area, in the Murray or downtown area, you definitely want to go talk to them. Anybody that works in that store, they're all comic nuts. And I've talked to almost every employee that works there, and they'll tell you this straight up. Why do you work at Nightfly Comics? So I can save money on my comics.
Exactly.
These
yes,
people
support
are comic
their habit.
Fans.
Yep.
Yes. So they know what they're talking about. And that's what I love about Nightfly Comics. I've gone in there and I said, listen, I'm interested in this, this, and this. And they'll direct me right to a comic. And they're also helping us get to WonderCon, which is awesome for us. Well, at least for me. Sadly, Russ and Jess can't make it. But we will have a temporary co-host. Malik will be joining us, or joining me.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And Malik is a giant comic book freak, so he knows more about comics than I do. But anyway, check out Nightfly Comics. They're about 6220 South State Street, and then in the library, the library square downtown until the end of March. I think the 1st of April is when they're finally going to close out of there, I believe.
Okay.
It's been changing a lot. I know the library's trying to get them to stay, but anyway. Which brings us to Just a Geek Girls movie review.
Yay!
Sponsored by Nightfly Comics. Now that I just spent the last 5 minutes talking about our sponsors.
Good, of course.
So a month ago, before we quit, I and took our little hiatus because, well, I got busy and Jess got busy and Russ is in his busy season.
I'm firing it up, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I asked her to review Barbarella.
Which I actually remember some parts of.
Awesome.
Now, I will tell you this. Barbarella is the only Jane Fonda movie that I will watch because it is so stupid it's funny. That's my review of Barbarella.
Okay.
In total?
Well, I was having a hard time deciding if they were making a sci-fi themed porn film or a pornographic sci-fi movie. It's like
without all the bump and grind.
Yeah, because all she's doing is running around fornicating with every alien she meets.
You have to understand it was made in the 60s.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, and they had that higher society where they weren't doing it, so it was a new talent for her.
That's true. She was learning.
And my bigger question was the guy that, like, piloted that like ship on the ice.
Oh yeah.
And he had those big fur coats. Do you think he just shaved those blankets right off his chest? Because he took off his jacket and his chest looked exactly identical to the big
why do you even wear
coat
the furs?
That he was wearing.
Yeah, why are you even wearing the furs? Yeah, yeah.
It was an interesting movie.
Is it coming back to you, Tom?
Sadly, yes. I watched it too. It's been a while. I watched it this month as well, and realized how much I hated that movie. And
then why is it the only one you'll watch?
Because it is so stupid. It is one of the dumbest films I have ever seen.
It is the dumbest.
It is probably the dumbest.
It's dumber than Surf Nazis Must Die.
Exactly.
And that's saying a lot. I mean, really. That's saying a lot. But I also have to say that one of the reasons why I like people to watch it is as much as...
Holy Ferolies, Casper.
That's hilarious.
As much as I hate the movie, I will give a kudos for its cinematography. Okay? Watch it for the way they position and do the camera work.
How they don't show the naughty bits.
Well-placed credits.
Well-placed credits. I mean, really, as a if you're into film itself, it's like Clockwork Orange, okay? Clockwork Orange is considered one of the greatest movies of all time. I did not like Clockwork Orange for the simple fact of the storyline.
Right.
But for the filming, it's incredible. I mean, it really is. Stanley Kubrick is a genius when it comes to a camera placement and getting actors to do things that they would not normally do. Barbarella, horrible story. But for the 1960s, the concept of taking the whole make love, not war, and put it into a sci-fi thing, I got to give him kudos for that. Anyway, hit die.
Anyway, hit die. Probably like 5-ish.
Five-ish. You can give it an epic 1.
It's,
I wouldn't care.
It's rolling around. Well, it was definitely better than Serve Nazis Must Die, okay?
It went better than what was the Silent Night. It was a lot better than that.
Oh, Silent Night. Oh, my gosh,
It had some really cool moments that I thought were okay. But
there was some laughs in it, too. Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of times that I actually chuckle.
It's so sad she forgets about Pygar, the angel dude. Like, he's captured. She totally forgets about him. He's off, like, woohooing with this other guy. Like,
holy crap, you remember the names.
Only Pygar, because she's always yelling, like, Pygar! Pygar! It's like half of the movie.
Alright, so anyway,
Five for Barbarella.
So, I watched this one this weekend, actually, and I thought it was pretty good for a 1971's horror film. Hands of the Ripper.
Sweet.
Eric Porter.
Sweet.
It's basically...
It sounds awesome.
It's basically the daughter of Jack the Ripper.
Does she do her own ripping?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave it at that. 1971, Eric Porter. I cannot pronounce her first name, so I'm not even going to try. Basically, when she was a baby, Anna witnessed her father, Jack the Ripper, murder her mother. Now she falls into a trance and continues Dad's bloody work.
Yay!
So we're going to dive into some classic horror. Hands of the Ripper. I liked it. Good film. So that'll be next week's movie review. We try to pick movies that are on Netflix. So if you have a Netflix subscription, you can always check out these movies as well. And let us know what you think of them because, well, we enjoy letting people tell us how bad the movies are that I pick for Jess to watch. So Jess the Geek Girls Movie Review is brought to you by Night Flight, Comics.
Are we doing it weekly or are we doing it bi-weekly?
Are we doing it bi-weekly?
Well, I don't know. We talked about it at one point.
We did.
And that's what we said, but then...
Well, we're doing a show next week.
Okay.
So, the following week, we may not. It just depends. Or no, the end of this month, April 1st, we probably won't be doing a show. Because I'm not going to be getting home till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning on April 1st. And I have to get up at 5 to go to work.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And he probably doesn't want to spend April Fool's Day with us.
No. No, that would be bad.
That would be awesome.
No, that would be... We'll play it by ear.
No, wait a minute. We're doing a show on April 1st?
We're supposed to do a show.
We need to do a show on April 1st to give the movie that we did not give her last April 1st.
No!
What? April Fool's Day?
April Fool's Day.
I don't even know if it's on Netflix. We'll have to find out. If not, we'll have to find a copy of it because April Fool's Day is a great movie. It has everything you need in a horror film. Big boobs, knives, and...
Cabin on an island.
Lots and lots of blood.
Sounds like a party.
It is.
It was.
It was a blast.
It was a college party.
It was a college party. It's another one of those 80s
horror films that kind of combines all the horror films into one. Let's get a bunch of teenagers, get them drunk, and have some crazy guy kill them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, give it away. Jeez.
I just basically described every horror film in the 1980s. Except for maybe two, where there was actually two killers that tried to kill people. And that's when Jason and Freddy hook up. I mean...
Hook up.
Yeah. Jason and Freddy. Friday, the
Playing
Jason...
Playing some Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. Nightmare on Freddy Street.
And that was when you got Freddy to give one of his best lines in any move ever. Why won't you die?
Nightmare on Freddy Street. Or Friday Street. Anyway. So let's go ahead and dive into Panda News. Panda News is, of course, brought to you by Nightflight, or thezombienation.com, where it's not just zombies, it's chicks, boobs, and rednecks. TheZombieNation.com. Go check it out. Carter Reed, good friend of ours, and fantastic artist. And he is drawing my logo for my short I'm filming this weekend. So I'm really excited for that as well. And he's letting me borrow his Necronomicon. Not everybody gets to borrow his Necronomicon. If I come in Monday completely or crazier than I normally am,
it's because of the Necronomicon.
It's because of the Necronomicon.
All right. Well, I haven't looked at these for a long time because I found these like before our hiatus. So we will just go through them. And I don't remember what they are, so we'll all laugh together. Let's start in Huntsville, Alabama.
Alabama.
And yeah, you have to say it that way. Huntsville police arrested a man whom officers report attempted to rob the Starbucks coffee on Airport Road on Sunday morning. Police said Philip Soddy approached the cashier at the business and demanded all the cash. The cashier told Soddy he was unable to open the cash drawer and then offered him a coffee instead. Soddy took the coffee and left the store, the report shows.
Was coffee and the
officers
best option there?
Found him walking in a nearby parking lot. Upon their investigation, they arrested Soddy for robbery without incident. I don't know.
Like
I don't
you give,
frequent.
You give some crazy guy coffee? Here, have some caffeine.
Have you seen his picture? Oh. All right, we'll move on to... it's got to be in Kentucky. Woodford. A Woodford County man...
Woodford?
Woodford.
Okay.
Tried to hold up a local pizza place Thursday... but failed because police say he was too drunk. Wearing a ski mask and sunglasses, police say 25-year-old Ryan Hopkins stumbled into the Little Caesars on the bypass. With the intent to steal. An employee told Lex 18, the man walked in before the restaurant had opened, smelling of alcohol, and had appeared extremely intoxicated. The employee said Hopkins said, "This is a holdup," while badly slurring his speech. The employees asked him to leave the premises, and Hopkins walked out. Hopkins was later picked up by police and charged with public intoxication. Police say he will not be charged with attempted robbery because he didn't actually have a weapon.
Look at the stupid look on his face.
Yeah, some of these mugshots are great. All right.
What's the website that does the mugshots?
I don't remember.
There's some website that does all the mugshots. They're just freaking hilarious. I used to know what it was.
We'll move to Brazil. An armed man in Brazil has heisted an 18-karat gold-plated vibrator selling for $4,000 at a luxury sex shop. Police say he walked into the Erotica Luxo store in Brasilia.
Say the name of the store one more time.
Erotica Luxo. Tied up a clerk and took the item from its display case. He stole nothing else. It's high season for erotic shops in Brazil as the nation celebrates its own Valentine's Day in less than 2 weeks.
I knew this was a Valentine's Day story.
Store owner, well, this was actually before. This was Not sure when it was. But store owner Vanessa Baldini tells the news website the robber might get no satisfaction from Wednesday's theft. She says the Swedish-made vibrator has a stainless steel core, making removing any gold plating extremely difficult. And she notes the robber didn't take the vibrator's charger. She says, I really don't know what he'll do.
Of gold.
I'll leave it up to his imagination.
Oh, my gosh. So many ways I could go with that. But mostly, why gold plated?
It's softer on the skin. It's a soft metal.
I'm really not sure that I want to know why she would know this. All right.
Next.
Jess has done it again. No.
Amanda.
I'm blushing right now.
Professed Satan catcher caught shoplifting from Athens store. A man told police he was on a military mission when caught shoplifting Sunday afternoon at a supermarket in East Athens. Robert Anthony Lesueur, 36, was arrested at the Kroger on College Station Road for drinking a soda and eating a beef stick, then trying to leave the store without paying. Police,
I was hungry and thirsty.
Police said store managers caught Lesueur attempting to leave and held him until the officer arrived. He then first explained that someone on the internet had told him to come and get those items, the officer wrote in an incident report. While speaking with Lesueur, it became apparent to the officers that he had some sort of issue, which was blacked out in a copy of the officer's report made public. He stated that he works for SEAL Team 6 and was on a special mission, the officer wrote in the report. He also informed me that he had caught Satan and had him in a bottle in his book bag. Whatever issues Lesueur might have, he still was arrested and booked into the Clark County Jail on a theft by shoplifting charge. Yeah.
That sounds like a song, Satan in a Jar.
In my book bag.
Yeah, in my book bag.
In my book bag.
All right, we'll move on. And this one, Manatee County, because we like to go to Manatee County.
I like manatees. They taste delicious with ketchup.
An 18-year-old man was arrested for allegedly giving wedgies to people outside of a movie theater.
I love this guy.
Bradenton police arrested Charles Ross on Sunday. A police report says Ross likes to play video pranks and is known for harassing and annoying people in Manatee County and then putting the footage on YouTube similar to a Jackass-style show. One of his recent videos of Ross kissing strangers has gotten nearly 40,000 views. Police say Ross grabbed people by the back of the pants and then pulled them up hard. Several victims said they were too embarrassed to press charges. Ross was booked into the Manatee County Jail on battery charges and was released Monday on a $750 bond. It is not yet known whether he has retained an attorney.
Okay, so now I have to say this story. This is a personal experience. I never received a wedgie as a kid, but I did get a reverse wedgie once. Yeah. I had a pair of jeans that had the hole in the knee, and my buddy Ellis put his hand on my knee. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He just giggles. And he reached up and pulled my boxers down through the hole, reversed. It was a reversed wedgie. Yeah. I think everybody peed their pants. They were laughing so hard from the look on my face. So, never received a wedgie, but I did get a reverse wedgie.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was funnier in my head. Yeah.
Probably was.
Burglar who cooked pie in underwear avoids jail.
What?
What?
Burglar who cooked pie in underwear avoids jail.
Well, that would just taste weird.
A man who broke into a Salisbury home, stripped down to his underwear, and cooked a chicken pot pie has received a suspended sentence. He didn't want to get his shirt dirty.
23-year-old Russell Neff pleaded guilty to burglary in the August incident. The Daily Times of Salisbury reports that Neff was admitted to a drug treatment court program last week. Police said they found Neff sitting in a living room chair using the TV remote control after the burglary.
So he made a chicken pot pie in his underwear, took it to the front room, and ate it while he was watching TV.
Yes.
Basically.
Okay.
All right. Last one.
Okay.
Slidell, Louisiana. Slidell police say a burglar forgot an important element of his disguise as he planned a night of crime. Police say 23-year-old Richard Boudreau dressed all in camouflage, wore gloves, and packed his tools when he showed up to burglarize his former employer, Kenny's Seafood. But they say he apparently... I just lost my internet.
No!
My page just refreshed. All right. But they say he apparently forgot his mask. They say Boudreau knew the business had surveillance cameras, so he improvised and covered his head with a bucket as he searched for the business for money. The cameras still managed... The cameras still managed to catch a glimpse of his face, though, and that's what allowed the police to identify him as the culprit. Investigators say he also tried to break into Jerry's buy and sell pawn shop with no luck. Police arrested Boudreau at his home and booked him with two accounts of simple burglary. And this is great because it's like a big silver plastic bucket.
Yeah. A big silver plastic bucket.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the panda news that I had because I lost some of my links.
Oh, that's all right.
But that's okay. That was still good.
It was. It was. Yeah, underwear pot pie is probably going to be my favorite. Because the way the headline reads, it sounds as if he used his underwear to make the pie.
And that's why punctuation is always yes. important.
People. Oh, that he cooked the pie in the underwear.
It does. Yes.
I was like, how do you cook? I don't know if I want to know how you cook
a pie in your underwear.
I mean, I'm a survivalist. Don't get me wrong. I can cook a lot of things in a can and, you know, a rock. But I'm not cooking a pie in underwear. Even if they are new. Fresh out of the bag. It's just not going to happen. So I really don't have anything else for tonight.
Yeah, we kind of had a lot going on last week with LTUE.
And you know, it was such a great, and we talked about this at the last thing, but I got thinking back and going over some of my notes, and I was just so impressed with the way it was organized this year. You know,
it was probably the best LTUE.
Yeah, I think
it was amazing.
Yeah, this is my fourth one, and I honestly think it probably was out of the four that I've gone to. Because I loved, people have been saying the same thing. They want to do it back at that hotel. They loved how everything was set up. It was well done, and there were some awesome panels there and some really great people. And I definitely am going to be to all 3 days next year. So one of the other things that I like about it too is they don't do it on Sunday because it's a BYU started right. BYU kind of thing. So it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But again, we met some awesome people and the networking that goes on at LTUE is incredible. Dave Butler met Larry Correa last year at Conduit. They hooked up at LTUE and that's how, Space Eldridge kind of got started.
Cause see, I thought it was
Howler Taylor. Dave Butler,
right?
And Nathan,
but I think it was Nathan was the one that actually had the original idea.
But that's how it, like, all that networking, these guys networking together.
We introduced Dave to Craig,
and you know there are some potential things that are probably going to happen with that. We're in the works. We're working on something right now.
But I mean to have someone who's in four different bands to hook up with the guy that writes Rock Band Fights Evil.
Yeah. And some other things that we're working on that may or may not.
Now we were out in the main foyer area, the common area,
one night, and we actually was with Patrick Tracy and Paul Jeunesse, and one of the organizers came by to talk to Paul, and he was saying that they've had to constantly look for bigger venues because they keep growing.
Yeah.
And as much as they like the hotel, they may have to move to a convention center if it keeps growing the way it is.
Well, I really like that.
But they did do a lot. I think they did a better job this year than I think what they did last year.
Even as it spread out like it was, you know, because there was a couple of rooms that were a lot farther, a little bit off
right.
the beaten path kind of thing. But I still really liked the way it
was. But it kind of worked out because you had a common area in the middle
yeah.
that had comfortable seats, and the restaurant that was just kind of in the that kind of made a center point
yeah.
to the two divisions
it
of the rooms.
It made a nice little place to kind of hang out and just chill with people.
And I was really surprised there was a Starbucks in Provo.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked.
But everyone buys hot chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they didn't even have chai.
And I'll tell you, the posts in the LTE.
Yeah, highly. Everyone
loved
everything.
Sensuous sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sensuous sandwiches. I probably one of their probably biggest days of the year because there was one guy who's like, I ate like three meals there all 3 days.
Oh, yeah, he ate yeah. there all 3 days.
Yeah. So, anyway, look for LTUE next year. We will definitely be there again. And hopefully, I made a really, really good network connection at LTUE that is probably going to help my production company get this Western that I want to do off the ground. So, Raven.
Oh, yeah. That was I was going to say. In fact, they're getting ready to release, internet-wise, the movie.
Yes. And what is it called?
Worldwide. Again? It is Flight of the...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flight from Shadow?
Yes.
Flight from Shadow.
Bam.
Jess is the bomb, shit diggity. So, yeah, I got to meet Raven, and we got talking about this story I've got written, or actually script that I've got written, and he has been wanting to do something along the same lines, so it was a great network and opportunity, and we're hopefully going to have it done so we can premiere it at LTUE next year. That's the plan. So,
and he's an incredible person.
Yeah.
He is. He's been doing costumes and set design his entire life.
That's what he did. If you guys, I'm not sure exactly what the release date is, but search for it. For a fan-based movie, this kicked.
It was amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I'm looking on his Facebook page right now, and I'm not seeing anything updated. But
I think there's still another week.
Yeah,
before they release
going
it,
to,
they well, want they want to finish.
They want to make. They actually asked the audience for some advice, and I think they were going to tweak a few.
They're doing the finishing touches to put their best foot forward, not have to change it after they release it. But the special effects that they did, and now. Because I know somebody that's kind of more into the background and stuff. I didn't see it, but I guess at the very start when they're out on the plains, in the blight, they had an albino horse out there with them, and I don't remember seeing it in the film.
Oh.
So that actually even got edited out.
Well, and I'm looking at Raven's Facebook page right now, and it's so funny to see people that we meet that have connections with other people that we know.
Yeah.
And apparently he's really good friends with Elizabeth Lund.
Oh.
They know each other. And I didn't know Elizabeth until we started shooting show Slow Drain.
Right.
It's just funny how all these connections people meet with each other in these little circles. And that's one of the things I love about these local cons is that we're kind of building these networks up and these links. And it's becoming a stronger and stronger chain because there are... Independent production is becoming huge. It's not the big production companies that are making the films anymore. It's getting to the point now, people that have the desire, who have never been seen before, are able to make these movies now because the cost has become so inexpensive. I mean, a high-quality 1080 film camera you can pick up for around $1,500 now. A really, really good production camera that's going to give you the sound quality, the film quality that they used in high-end filmmaking. So it's really changing the way the industry is looking. And I honestly think 5 years from now, we are going to start seeing more and more internet television stations that do nothing but broadcast via the internet. They're not going to be the cable channels. They're going to be networks that you can subscribe to via the internet.
Well, Netflix has already started doing that, putting out shows that are only on Netflix.
Yeah. And they have more plans, and they've approached Disney. Well,
Hulu's been doing it for quite a while.
And Disney, apparently, I just read this today, Disney is planning on producing some shows that are going to air only on Netflix and then rebroadcast on the Disney Channel. So, I mean, if you're really into film, this is I highly recommend this being the time that you start diving into it and getting into it.
Well, and that's, we kind of discussed it a little bit at LTUE, that even in the publishing industry, you don't have to go find a publisher.
No.
You can release an ebook right directly through Amazon.
And every single author we spoke to that self-published has said that they make more money self-publishing than they do going to the big New York chains.
And so, I mean, if that's what you're looking into, I mean, you think about it. Just here in Utah, you have LTUE. You know, you're like you said, you're going to WonderCon. You got SLC Nerd. You got Conduit. You hit the summer. You've got Steam Fest.
Anime Bonsai.
Great connecting, networking, to get into with the people that may have your interest.
If you're not listening to the show from Salt Lake, I highly recommend, if you're into this stuff, check out your local areas, see what sci-fi conventions are involved. Whether you're a ghost hunter, if you listen to the show because of the paranormal, if you listen to the show because of your interest in film or the authors we have, or you listen to the show because you're fans of us, whatever, check out your local conventions, your local organizations. Every state, every major city has something like this. Head to them, find out how much fun they are, and then get involved. I honestly think that's the trick to it all. Not just going, but I mean, because going can be fun, but getting involved as well. Volunteering and getting to meet those people.
You know, and just get, I mean, even if it's as simple as going to like Gangrene Film Festival.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm excited for this year. The film that we're shooting this weekend, we're going to submit to Gangrene as well, because it is a comedy. And we are going to be more involved with Gangrene this year. We're going to get there a little bit earlier this year, and we're going to do some more interviews and be a little bit more part of it. Now that we know what it's involved,
well, yeah,
and I'm going to definitely bring a blanket this year because I was freezing by the end of the night. But
it was a little colder night.
As we get closer to Gangrene, and I'm sure as we get closer to SLC Nerd, we'll have Greg in here, we'll have Ben in here, we'll play some Wasasquatch.
Yes,
see, I got it. And of course, I'm wearing my Funk Toast T-shirt. Because Wasasquatch
with your Gangrene Film Festival hat.
With my Gangrene Film Festival hat. I even plugged Gangrene on my interview with KUTV because I was wearing my Gangrene
hat. I missed that. I forgot that was on last night.
I posted it on the Facebook page. It was so funny. I had a lot of people at work today. I saw you on the news. And I'm like, yeah, this is like the 500th time. But thank you.
You know, and that's weird. I mean, as much as, you know, we're not really out there trying to get known. After our news story for Halloween, I went in to cash my check, just deposit my check. The teller that I see once every 2 weeks on the other side goes, I saw you on TV. And it was literally when she saw it on the TV, she was with her friends. They weren't really paying attention. Then all of a sudden she goes, I know that guy. From where? I don't know, but I know that guy.
And it's not about the publicity. It's, you know, I did the interview this weekend to help out the Casino Star Theater because they're celebrating 100 years. If you are interested in that, go check it out. It's Gunnison Theater. They are always looking for donations. They're trying to fix the front. We're going to go back down and investigate again, and I'm probably going to do a lecture in October down there as a fundraiser for them and a ghost hunt. great people. I was honored to be asked to do it because they wanted something a little bit more to spark the interest of the theater, and hopefully what I gave them did.
Right.
So,
it was a fun little theater.
Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. It was a great night. I know it's a short show, but we've got some guests that are going to be coming up soon. We've got some cons coming up, and I'm going to have some people in, and we'll be talking to them. And then, of course, WonderCon. I'm not saying he's going to be there, but the chances are that it's pretty good that Nathan Fillion is going to be there. And if he is, it's going to be me doing this in an interview.
And he will poke fun at you.
Probably. It'd be hilarious.
I'm worshiping. And
make sure Riley videotapes it.
Yeah, it's going to be like, it's going to be like me when we met Tracy Hickman for the first time.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when Tracy Hickman sat down across the table from us, I think Jess and I were both the fanboy, fangirl, you know, dumbfounded. We've got Tracy Hickman right in front of us. This guy is, because Tracy Hickman got me into fantasy.
He got me into writing.
J.R. Tolkien, I read Tracy Hickman before I read The Hobbit.
See, now I read The Hobbit first, but it was really like the Dragonlance series. The first time I read that, I'm like, this crap's amazing. Like,
see, and I read the Dragonlance series first, and then someone, because I was reading at school, and someone's like, have you read The Hobbit? And I was like, no. And so they gave me a copy of The Hobbit, and that's what got me into The Hobbit. So really, Tracy Hickman is what got me into fantasy. Anyway.
And yet now we're such good friends by going to these conventions that he goes out of his way to say hi to us.
He didn't recognize me. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's right.
Because I got talking to him. He was just like, who are you again? And I said, put up.
And you figure how many people does he meet?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. But still, it was awesome. All right, everybody. We will see you next week. Movie review and Panda News. And I'm going to go to bed as soon as I get home.
I was going to say drive home first.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I got to put gas in the car. And, you know,
well, you could try the cage with Casper.
I haven't lost that much weight.
Or the troll.
Or, no.
He needs some lovin's.
No. I don't,
you don't
need
want
troll
you lovin'. Don't want to cuddle up with the troll?
No.
He's been lonely lately.
Yeah. I'm sure he has. All right, everybody. Thanks. Good night. And we will see you next week.
Night, all.
Good night.